Your first startup is about skill. Second startup is from market. Third startup is passion. In my case, I was Ulta.
Software is about efficiency and productivity. So it is valuable for markets where people have not have that GDP of $40,000 or more. You just go sell. Right? If machines are buying software, it doesn't matter whether you sit in Goa or whether you sit in Santa Monica. But we know today largely 99.9% mining is done by humans. So which essentially means they would like to see a human, meet the human.
I think it's very hard for someone to trust a company which is 10 people sitting thousands of kilometers away. And then the trust can only be bridged by a founder. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Matrix Moments podcast. I'm Pranay and I lead our enterprise software investments. I'm excited to do this topic with three phenomenal founders, but today we are going to talk about second innings. And all three people with me today are second time entrepreneurs, again building enterprise SaaS companies. For all three of you, teams are in India, market is in the US, right? So if you had to think about how did you go about picking the idea, the first version of the product in your first innings, and how are you doing it now? Any evolution in thought process, any differences?
Yeah, since you always started in this distant problem.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go first, right? See, my last gig I did was Zarget, which is in the marketing space, where we actually quickly went on to a good number of customers. We had almost 300 customers, very, very small customers, but churn was high because it was a use and throw software. Like people will do their website and then after 2 months, they'll use it and they don't have a need for the next 2 years. So this I didn't foresee. Nobody could foresee at the time. I was very clear on one thing. Like I want to build a product from India to the globe. But the model of selling from India should be easy. Lead gen should be easy. It should come into that model of inside sales where the CAC versus payback should be clear. And I went back to what I know. There is a Rajnikanth dialogue, right? Therinja tholila vittavanu ketta. Like there is a dialogue, right? So I wanted to go back to things which I knew well. So I picked a vertical of IT, which is MSP space, which fits into that SMB insights, the sales model, SMB market, less than 10K ACV. It has a established category. I can sell it from India. So pick that and did the reverse engineering of, okay, can another player, is there an opportunity? So I wanted to start in IT, then did the research and found out MSP as a opportunity and we moved to the MSP market. We spoke to close to around 50 MSPs, did the initial conversations and everything. And thanks to Matrix, Matrix helped us with all the conversations and the initial days. We spoke to SolarWinds, Enable founders and everybody and decided, okay, this is a good space. So we have an opportunity to like scale and bring a predictable lead gen from India. Sell from India, you don't have to hire sales in the initial days. So that was an advantage. So I picked that, that was the initial research.
Got it. So I guess, obviously founder market fit. So you're talking about picking a market you understand, pick a GTM that you are very familiar with. And then within those controls started looking at, are there possibilities to build something? Right?
Correct.
Any other?
There were many years ago, I ran into a founder from China. It looks like they've had so many serial entrepreneurs. That he has a playbook. He says, your first startup is about skill. Second startup is from market. Third startup is passion. In my case, I was Ulta. My first was like passion. Oh, I need to build something in India. And that's how it started. But I think finally the realization is tech, software, and then you call it whether enterprise or self or something is. After a long, long time here, I've now come to there's only one market, which is the United States, not America. There's only one market. And picking a market for your startup is extremely critical. All things being equal in terms of your skill, your ability, fundraising, this, that, everything. There's one thing that beats everything else is the market. Not timing, it's luck, but it's just you pick the market because it is so fluid. People pay money for productivity, you could pay money for new ideas, there's a lead option, there's data option, there's an entire spectrum of those things. So my first mistake, first startup was purely passion, want to bring tech, want to bring high quality audio video to businesses here. Felt that it was the right thing. The acquisition also pointed that it was the right thing. Market was just wrong. I was solving it for India. And the second time was pick the market, and then I iterated on what is the problem, and did almost 75 customer interviews across sales, operations, everything, and seemed like there's one problem where you could build a skill, you could build some passion around it, you could build a talent pool around it, and there's a GTM that's there. But I think picking the market is very important.
And just double clicking on this, right? So I know sort of initially started in sales tech, right? But what were the thesis? What were the evolution? I know there was a Sasquatch visit somewhere in the middle.
Yes.
So how did you think about going to the US? Like, when did you go there?
Yes. Did you have? Do you want to
answer? No. I think it's really complicated.
So I think once you pick the market, I think it'll be a very, very, very lazy answer, lazy approach if you're not in the market. If you decide I want to sell something luxury in Europe, or I want to sell something in London, or something for Middle East, or, and if you're not in the market day one, I think you're just being lazy.
First time founder will usually say, I don't have the money to stay for 2 months in the US.
I've now realized there's a workaround or solution for all of these things, right? If you're in Middle East today offers entrepreneurs wide open resources to be there, execute things. I still remember 2011, 12, 13, there was this thing called Plug and Play right in Bay Area. This was a Middle Eastern founder who sells carpets and things like that. And you'd like, I will host you for 3 months, I'll pay you rent and everything. You just be here and solve your problems, right? So if you believe you have identified a problem and you have at least some sense of solution for that problem, the market is wide open for you to be there physically. So that's the first thing is, if you understand this is the market, then you've got to be there. Right?
So when did you go to the US?
We were like even before the formation of the company, we filed for a visa. Only when we went into the visa center consulate, that is when he asked the question, where's your invitation letter? We realized we are inviting ourselves to you. And we are pretty sure that that guy is going to throw us out. And they put us into a different queue. And then we went into the spiel there that this is founders, we have a software and we have changed the world. And he gave us the visa. I have no idea how it went. But 2016, 2017, both me and Samir's visa had expired. We were in Chennai in the consulate. We had a letter where we invited ourselves to the US to build something in the US, right? And then we went into Sastr, we went into Salesforce, we went to a bunch of people. So we went after sales operations. The idea was, today it may be AI, which is ML. Earlier it was cloud, before that it was just
so you any were, software. You were A-B testing ideas at
yes, Sastr. I was just A-B testing ideas at Sastr. We had a deck and we had two, three laptops. We had three people. We had a friend there who we put them, and all three laptops showed different versions of the product, different pitches, and we're just testing out which one sells. We just started with that and we went ahead with that. So there's really a lot of opportunity if you're in the market, if you have a sense of the market, and if you're able to participate in the market. So be there day zero, if it's not even day one, number one. And second is, at least today, a lot of people have a sense of what the problem they're solving. But if you don't, there are plenty of opportunities to figure out what the problem is if you're there. I know there are folks here right now who have a tech solution around AI, ML, audio, video. Be there and you'll be surprised how much of business needs are there for their same solutions. There are connecting the dots that you won't be able to do it if you're not in the market. And that's lastly what I realized is it's really worth doing that.
Yeah. I think really good points. So just thinking. So the last company, Vijay, we wanted to basically build something on the cloud, right? Because I have previously used cloud. You know, I started AWS and used Azure. And in 2013, when we basically set up Ninja, we said, okay, we can actually, you know. So I basically, like, the previous experience I basically learned, if you're betting on a trend, C is their immediate value. C, you know, potentially early signs of available value, and whether that value is scalable. If so, you can build something around. But I generally tell founders, don't worry too much about idea, right? Don't be super obsessed with an idea, because that idea won't be the same just like 2-3 months after starting and talking to like 20-30 prospects. You know, the ideas will get refined and you are. But I always, so one of my engineers, he joined Atomic Work again. Akash always says this: software is for money rich, time poor people. And the other way to basically look at it is, you know, software is about efficiency and productivity. So it is valuable for a market where their time is more than their money, right? Which essentially means, okay, which are the markets where people have not have that GDP of $40,000 or more? You just go sell, right? And now you can pick individual countries, you know, go to Europe or whatever. The good thing about US is from East Coast to West Coast, one
so language. Yeah.
And of course, cultures differ, you know, if you go from, you know, West Coast to East Coast, you know, the nuances differ, but largely one country, one language, you know, mostly broadly 80% or at least 70-80% of the culture is the same. So you can easily go sell, and you know, it's a highly productive economy, so they value their time more than their money. So you can sell software, right? You can sell any software, right? Anything that improves their efficiency and productivity, right? Now, when you are thinking about Atomic Work, we were basically saying, you know, we applied a different framework. We didn't apply like the previous framework. We basically said, are we going to a good neighborhood? So a good neighborhood is basically a market where there are multiple big companies. They're making ton of money. And because they're making ton of money and they've been around for some time, you know, there will be some customer dissatisfaction. Can we go and just solve those customer dissatisfaction? So the thing with good neighborhood is, you know that multiple people went there, built good houses, you know, we call it product, you know, they made money. And good neighborhoods generally attract more and more people to come. And so that was one thing. And second thing is, you know, do we have a team that also has that long-term view, right? Now, the way to basically think about this long-term view is, you know, I mean, like whether people's basic needs are taken care of, right? So that was one of the theses for putting together the team. The last thing we basically thought is, okay, how do we apply technology or whatever? And as both of them said, Rishi and Vin, when you go speak to customers, you know, your ideas will get a lot more refined, right? So you start with a broad idea, but then you go talk to people. The only thing I'll basically tell is, when humans are buying software, don't build it. If machines are buying software, it doesn't matter whether you sit in Goa or whether you sit in Santa Monica. But we know today largely 99.9% buying is done by humans. So which essentially means they would like to see a human, meet the human. And you also have to understand their culture, you know, their context. So India is like a high context culture. And then we say US is like a very low context culture. In a low context culture, you can just go pitch, be direct, tell what you can do, what you cannot do, you know, things will work, right? US is like a very high context, you know, India and South Korea, Japan, China, these are all like high context cultures, right? So if you try to apply this cultural aspect to your product building or selling there, it won't work. So I think it's important to understand. I think it's, you have to be, if you're selling vegetables, be in a good neighborhood, right? Because, you know, people will come, they have money, they'll buy it. So if you're selling software, why would you do it? Right? Go to US. And I mean, just one more thing, you know, I was actually talking to one of the founder who said, very proudly said, we are in 30 countries. I said, where does 95% of your revenue come? He said 5 countries. I said, then why are you wasting your time in another 25 countries for 5% revenue? Because you are not even a market leader in any of these 5 countries. So don't get too obsessed with, you know, whether you're at 1 million or 10 million or even 20 million about going to like 100 countries, because it will only get tax for you. And don't be too obsessed with idea. You know, focus. Very recently, actually, just like maybe 4 days ago, I learned this beautiful thing called, how do you design your product both using beliefs, your own beliefs and customer beliefs, and how do you use trends, your own thinking or prediction of a trend, and what competition is doing, and then the shifts in the market, right? So if you think four these quadrants, And just think about it, right? So you, of course, you have to use your own beliefs, you know, because you're starting, you have to bring something that has, you know, differentiation. You also have to add customer beliefs. Customer beliefs are nothing but their feedback, their experience and stuff. You need to look at what's happening in the market landscape. And you also have to look at what's happening broadly in the landscape, right? Like last 6 months, I got 2 slaps. You know, the slap one was, you know, GPT. You know, the slap two is, you know, this whole, you know, autonomous you know, agents, right? I think these are like very critical changes. You should pay attention. It is try to understand and say, you know, is there a context of my product or my business? If so, how do I learn? How do I understand? And one of the reasons for me, you know, immediately going for the last 5 weeks, almost like 5 weeks to US, was I really wanted to go meet customers, prospects, but also I wanted to go meet people, you know, who have built and seen technology trends for the last 40 years, not just last 10 years, 20 years, right? Because they have different perspective. And then I came back and I basically said, if we want to build every software company will become EML, right? Just like every company will be a mobile first company, cloud first company, you know, whatever, right? Everybody will go on that path. But first we have to be AI first users. If you don't use AI, forget about building AI first company or AI native company, right? As individuals, we will do this. So how do we enforce that within the team so we really appreciate the power of technology?
This is a whole different topic, right? Which we can talk about.
No, I think, see, this was one of the thought process which I think you will agree with this. Pretty much the pain point of the customer has been the same for generations, like for decades. Every decade, something changes. Either it was from moving from software to SaaS and then now from SaaS to AI. I think the pain point is same. The solution which we are giving is in a different format. So I think that played a big, as you said, the trend, watching out for the trend also makes a lot of sense in this in the market. I'll just share one thing which we did. We started exactly during the pandemic. Okay, so, and every office said you can work from home now. And IT was managing it in one company. And then I would have to manage somebody who's sitting in Detroit has moved to Hawaii and
they have 500 offices, not one
office. This was a challenge, right? So this MSP business was going, like, managing distributed workforce was an opportunity there. Now it's again, it's changing into hybrid co-managed IT. There are a lot of things which is changing every 2 years. I think building solutions for this new age problems is something which you should always look out for and keep changing it all the time. Yeah.
So I think
with the oldest problem, apply new technology, new experience.
I agree with that, but I think what we are also, when I'm looking at like what you've done, what Arvind has done, what Abhijay has done, what the trend and all right is, it's also important that just ability to be around long enough is also very critical. Not saying that ChatGPT is not like the perhaps a massive inflection point that has come for it. It has, but as long as you survive, you stick long enough, you continue to build trust in the market, you continue to solve solutions in the market, problems in the market. And your product, I still remember this out of mind. I met those founders, one of the founders in the US, and what they did was a couple of pivots, not in the product, but largely in the market, but they survived. And in 3 years to 4 years, they had the widest and the deepest feature base in that market. Yeah. And after that, the product just sold because some combo of feature was fitting in. Right? So in the end, software, as you said, is about trust. Yeah. You're solving somebody's problem, productivity problem, and things like that. So as long as you're around there, you're solving people's problem, it's there. So it's very important to pay attention to the trends and other things. But burning out or just vanishing is not a solution for all problems.
Okay, so I think it's a good segue into the next question I had. But what I'm hearing around the room is, obviously, immerse yourself in the market and learn their context, their culture, their pains. Right? Your construct of market is good neighborhoods, existing budget, large category, new trend line is disrupting, maybe a fat and lazy enterprise competitor who doesn't want to evolve because they have their profit pool, so they will not change. And you're going there and selling organic vegetables.
Yeah.
But I think to this point about just trust in the market, right? Maybe one question I wanted to ask is, how did you think about marketing, brand, GTM differently. And maybe again, we'll start with Arvind, who's our resident marketing guru. So, Arvind, when did you start thinking about GTM and marketing, and how did you go about it this time?
I started from day one, man. A marketer myself, I think. I have the strong belief of building product has become fairly easy nowadays because of the technology advancement. A lot of things we can actually go to, like some two smart engineers sitting in a garage can actually build a product today. Like in Zoho back then, there was no AWS. We have to build the client, we have to build the data center, everything. That was tougher. Today, building product is easy, but GTM, back then the keyword cost was $1, $1.5 for Google search. Today, a click is $300, right? And everybody are writing content. Now, ChatGPT content is overloaded. So, building the GTM engine and getting the predictability and organic lead gen and the brand is becoming way tougher day by day. More and more companies are coming. It's crowded. Standing out and building a brand is tougher. So, that's my personal thought. So I started day one, like even before we were launching our product, writing code, started telling the story. We had, we did more than 50 podcasts before even we showed the first prototype. Immersed ourselves with all the influencers, started talking about AI, educating them a little bit, created curiosity and things like that. So brand building, I think we kind of are, everybody in the MSP market knows us. We took on the biggest competitor and we did a campaign, did all this regular things we used to do in Freshworks. And so build a brand, but to your answer, don't wait. It's building a brand is like building a product. It also requires time. Start from day one is my advice.
Yeah. So I think I agree with it. So I would also say build a brand in a market where it matters. So I'll give you an example, right? So when we built Ninja, I can tell you most people in Bangalore also didn't know. I mean, people started writing emails after we got FYC, man, we didn't even know that. Because it doesn't matter if everyone in Bangalore knows about my product because they're not my clients. Rather, I would have people in Bay Area, right? There are like hundreds of companies, you know, in US who knew about Ninja. They always thought they were a Japanese company because of the name and or have a Japanese connection. So I would also say three things, right? So as Alvin said, you take any two SaaS products, 70-80% features are common. There is no differentiation, right? Probably every product has like one, two killer separators. So how can you separate yourself? You have to build a brand. Again, I tell, think about brand as three things. So there is a company brand that you need to build. There is a product solution brand you need to build. And there is an employer or ecosystem brand you need to build. So all three are important. If you really want to build a great company, you have to go build all these things. Just like you're doing product engineering, I would say do brand engineering. I would also say once you have a product, a lot of us underestimate a good, delightful support. You know, how big competitive advantage. Right? That's the biggest lesson I learned from the times. I mean, I often used to joke when I was running Ninja, I never woke up at 3 a.m. to do customer escalation call. But in Nutanix, there were like multiple times, you know, where I woke up at like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 1 a.m. It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter whether you're a junior engineer or whether you're a VPGM. If there is an escalation engineering call, you just show up, acknowledge the problem, create a plan, support it. And they were like, so many instances where, you know, customers said, I know you guys are like not as big as your competitor, even though it's like a very big company by that, you know, it was doing like 1.5 billion in revenue, 5-6,000 people company, despite the customers actually told us, you know, the thing that we really like about you is when you have a problem, you show up and help us fix it, and that it will be appreciated, right? I think brand, use it as a differentiator from day one. Use support as a differentiator from day one of your product. Don't think about setting up a delightful support, a delightful customer success, you know, a delightful onboarding, implementation support, etc. As you know, I'll do this once I get to 5 million, 3 million, 10 million, etc. I think you can just use these two things to create 40-50% differentiation in the market. Again, one other thing I have seen, people are building software for US. They sponsor conferences in Bangalore. I mean, it's useless, don't even attend. You know, it's worth, you know, you are literally wasting, right? It's okay if nobody in Bangalore knows about your company. You should be delighted if everybody in Chicago knows about your company because that's where MSPs are, right? Or you're selling into media people, you know, everybody in New York know about you. That's better than, you know, everybody in Chennai or Bangalore knowing about you, right? I think build a brand in a market where it really matters to you. And I think Arvind spoke about this. Startups don't have brand, okay? From day one, you don't have brand, right? And you don't have trust. And it's very hard to get visibility. One of the greatest things, you know, that we are lucky second time is you can bring people and, you know, associate them with your, you know, company, if not with product, by doing podcasts, you know, by doing like, you know, blogs with them, you know, by doing knowledge sharing with them or thought leadership with them, where you can infuse their, you know, brand so that, you know, people think. So the first person, we thought like similarly, right? You know, should we do podcasts or not? We said, okay, let's do a podcast. So who should be the first guest for the podcast? We said, okay, but how about bringing the guy who is today called as father of modern HR?
And make it a moonshot. Yeah.
And really strive hard for it. You know, we don't have a connection. You know, we didn't go ask an EC, please introduce us. We cold emailed, reached out, begged. And now we basically said, okay, you know, one HR leader is great. We need to bring one IT leader and one, you know, business leader and, you know, round robin. Because if you just talk about HR, you know, that becomes like very boring for your audience, right? You don't need to do like, I don't also believe in quantity of it, just do like 10 podcasts, one a month, but do a really high quality. You can't do one a month, do one a quarter. You can't do one a quarter, do one a half. You can't even one a half, at least do one damn thing in a year, right? You can find time for it. I completely agree. Build, focus on brand from day one. Focus on customer, delightful customer support, not customer support, delightful customer. Like to customer success from day one of your product, right?
I feel that for a first time entrepreneur, especially in the tech, when you come from a product or a technology background, it's really, really hard to think of these ideas or concepts like marketing or brand. And there's also the personality. Many of us are very introvert, and to even address that becomes very hard. I think here's where I think a couple of things that really, really helps you. Like focus on one thing, right? If it's market, and in the market US also, if it's enterprise or you're looking at PNG, just focus on one thing. And just do the same things that you do. If the only jeans that you ever bought is Levi's because you care about that brand or you've heard of that brand because there's familiarity, you've been around that, or there's a language of empathy. So just do that. And which is why I'm saying it's like day zero being in the market matters is because you run into the same people again and again, there's familiarity, right? You start building empathy because, hey, I know your problem. And you are now entering into a, if you're an enterprise, then you're going to co-creation. If you're non-enterprise, then you're basically doing some kind of a value build for that. But I think the core thing for vocabulary that really works for a first-time entrepreneur, especially coming from tech, is really focus. Is don't go, I will do PAG also, I will do enterprise also, I will do DIY also, I will do services also. No, just pick one thing. And as you said, I will do Europe also, I will do UK, I will do China, no, I will pick one market, right? And just double down on that thing. It really is a hard decision to not do these things, but it is such less stressful and you can go 10x deeper if you just focus on one thing. In our case, I still remember, and this was a learning in my life, because I made that mistake earlier, is you can even pick one region in the US and focus. If you think that East Coast is awesome, or Florida is awesome, or West Coast is awesome, or Texas is awesome, just go off that market also. Because North America is so diverse, deep and diverse. That
one common thing I've also seen is everyone wants to set up Bay Area startups. Right? I want Stripe as a logo, I want Stripe as a logo. Right, but there's also
we discovered, and you'd see that one, that the North America's largest medical conference, HIMSS, happens in Orlando, or Florida, right? It's the largest conference, and people are selling everything and anything there, from medical t-shirts to medical this to medical software to medical that. Any fax solutions are being sold there, right? So it'll be surprising if you focus
how much answer starts coming out of it. And so I think it comes back to is be in the market and focus on a few things, and you start learning these basic principles of branding and stuff that folks in B2C and others just know in day one, right? Whereas you come from a product background and tech background, it's very, very hard to understand what's an SEO budget, what's an SEO budget, what's a PLG, what's an enterprise. Be in the market, spend time there, and just automatically comes in. I'll just add a very, 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 very interesting anecdote, because I just repeated this at least 100 times in the last. We observed one of our, not competitors, but someone we were aspiring to, that they did for mid-market sales, wine and dine every fortnight in the area. So they'll call sales ops or legal ops or something on a particular evening, and they do it. So we went and copied that, and we hosted that in a nice area called Tidal House in Bay Area, Mountain View. 5 years from now, we are now acquired by a company, LegalZoom, which actually bought that real estate of Tidal House and is our now office. And me and Samir went there and we sat there. So it's just such a full circle. But I think the memories there are is wine and dine, or just these very close circle sales or value co-creation happens if you're in the market. And it's extremely focused activity. And is that branding? Is that marketing? It maybe it is not, but it really works. And I think that's the point that I'm saying is day zero, be in the market.
I think that's a great point. So one of the things a lot of startups say, I can't bring my customers to dinner. Right? Let's say you can't bring your customers to dinner, I can understand. So one of the things we did at Midjab was we were building on top of AWS. Reinvent was the biggest thing. A lot of customers are there. So we used to host this lunch on day three, where there are no parties and nobody is hosting social mixer or like pub crawl, etc. And everybody is really looking for a good home, you know, or a party, and it doesn't cost much, right? So a lot of people actually felt they're a big company, because you know they're like, man, this actually host you know the CXO lunch, you know, every year at Reinvent. And it started with like 10 people, went to 20, and I think our biggest one we probably had like 35 people, right, who actually showed up. Because it also brings intimacy, right? You know, one of the things you know Kaleem says, what we scan, when they added field visits, like just one visit in a year, the retention improved by like 3 percentage points. That's huge, right? You know, just adding like that extra one face to
one face to face.
And second thing, you know, I think he touched upon it, I mean, it's like, I generally tell founders there is no US go-to-market as a startup. Mm-hmm. You pick one area, you pick Seattle, or you pick New York, or you pick Chicago, or you pick Midwest, or Middle East, or West Coast, or East Coast. Go there. You don't need to run like your campaigns for entire US. You just pick that one area, you really go after them, and you know, have your own approach to, right? Don't copy because everybody's cold calling. Everybody is doing, you know, 5,000 emails. You know, giving my customer discovery, one other thing, you know, people told me, Vijay, I stopped buying software from cold calling guys, from, you know, these robotic callers.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think it's beautiful. We technologists are abusing technology for people. And people are now saying, you know, I have a separate email, which I use on my Twitter, LinkedIn,
everywhere.
A separate phone number, which I report. Because I get like hundreds and hundreds of emails.
Yeah.
I think founders, we should stop celebrating. I sent 5,000 emails, I got 5 people who responded, kind of a shit. I think as a company, you can take it like very differently, you know, by creating value for your target segment and not frustrate them, bother them. Don't abuse people's attention, etc. Because people also stop, you know, buying, you know, this whole robotic process, whether it's in marketing or it's in sales. The only thing I say is, I generally discourage founders for building for SMB, you know, but I tell you, you need to learn SMB skills as a founder. Sales, marketing skills, and business skills.
Yeah, yeah.
So you really need to learn SMB skills, but SMB is like for sales and marketing and business, but don't build for that segment.
Right.
You know, unless, you know, you're like very experienced founder, right? If you're a first time guy, it's very hard for you to go.
There are just these trees or this coffee hotspots. I'll pick up North Matilda's anywhere. Redwood City, Mountain View, the King Street right outside SF. Easily 50 enterprise companies right there. Just go to one. Easily 50 companies right there. Just go put yourself for 6 hours in that one. Set up all your meetings. Your first year quota should be right there. I mean, right. So it's like,
I'll add one thing. I agree and disagree for one thing. So agreeing is definitely picking one region and going deeper. Don't get distracted with multiple region and it's diluting your investment also. I totally agree on picking one region. But at a as a marketer, there is one thing which I'll say. If you try 10 things, only 3 will work. 7 is going to fail. You have to understand that you have to identify the top which is going to work best for you. And this is the time where you can have a limited budget to spend in, okay, this is, I put this much money, how much am I getting ROI? And test the top 10 channels and pick the top 3. So I would recommend to try multiple channels, not just pick one thing, so that you will know where to double down when it works. So picking one region is good, but experiment your top channels with a limited budget would be my one advice.
And the last thing I would say is the first million, the founder has to.
Yeah.
Okay, stop this whole, you know, idea that I raise 3 million, I will hire a US.
I'll hire a VP sales and
And the first million has to be founder led. And then it has to be founder managed before you bring even a director of sales or a VP sales kind of the people. You, if you don't know how to sell, if you don't sell, you don't learn about product, you don't learn about competition, you don't learn about customer problem, you don't learn about buying behavior, buying cycles, buying process, friction in it. And any founder who says, I can't sell, I generally say, you don't make CEO job, give you other co-founder who can sell anything.
That totally. Honest, I think what we've seen is the 0-1, the first sales people, only the founder can, right? You cannot outsource that to a salesperson or a sales leader. Once you have that playbook, a VP sales can come and help you hire 5 smart people and train them on the playbook. So they can help you scale the sales up once you have the playbook. Absolutely.
The worst,
basically, you create the playbook on how to sell, and then the sales person you hire is going to make it repeated to the same thing. Same playbook can be repeated to multiple sales.
And the biggest mistake of the Indian SaaS founders right now, I made that mistake, I do that, and now hopefully sharing that lessons with others, is building an SDR team or sales team is zero guarantees of any kind of success in thought, is it? Just because you build a team of 10 engineering is shipping code, you build a team of 10 in content is shipping content, doesn't mean that you have 10 SDRs and sales happens. That is one part that is so counterintuitive and just doesn't work.
In most cases, outbound is dead, right? Like cold outbound spam detectors get better, and like you said, right, people are getting smarter and ignoring the noise. So it's not cold outbound. You need some air cover, some brand or something like that. The second thing is, I think sales is formulaic, so it's easy. So people will say, okay, I can hire reps because 5 reps, $1 million quota, 5 million I will have. But I think sales is scientific, but marketing is art, right? And if you can't create the pipeline to feed the reps, they are just closers, right? But if you can't feed them enough pipeline, they will not be able to close.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think just go listen to Lenny's podcast, the best of the breed. Current strategies, right? Don't apply like 10-year-old, 20-year-old now, you know, Zoho did their first 100 million, 500 million, it won't work for anyone.
It doesn't work. It
won't even work the threshold strategy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just go look at the guy who made the 5 million last 2 years, you know, their strategy probably.
Yes, absolutely.
The only thing I would also say is, you know, I mean, this was a learning for me, you know, even in Ninja, like after we crossed first $2 million and we hired a salesperson, I always felt when I used to go for a customer visit, we could close the deal. And only when this guy is going, they're not able to close the deal. And, you know, at one point I used to say, why can't you do it? You know, blah, blah. The sales guy being sales guy, so he gave his explanation. But then once I asked the customer, you know what customer told? He said, if a sales guy comes and makes a commitment, I'll probably give 5% weightage to that commitment. But because I know that the product teams, engineering teams, know the sales guy. But if a founder or a CEO comes and makes the commitment, the entire company will rally towards that commitment and deliver on it, right?
So, no, I think it goes back to the same point where you said first million founder led, then next founder managed. But I think it's very hard for someone to trust a company which is 10 people sitting thousands of kilometers away. And then the trust can only be bridged by a founder, right? So even after you hire a sales team, it's just get on the closing call as an exit sponsor and say, I'm the CEO, I am here for you. This is my email ID and phone number. Right?
And also, if you write that email, as a founder, please don't send your SDR or just a sales guy for a call. People get frustrated, you know? So you should talk and acknowledge it.
You know, one thing that I wanted to add on from my side is I'm again doubling down on that being in the market, living and breathing the air in the market is we also miss out what really matters in the market today. For example, in 2023, mid-market and enterprise sales, privacy, security, data management is like the number one item out of the gate. It's almost like, so you talk about your product, your user experience, pricing, does it even reach to the person there if you have not addressed these things? And you're sitting here, you're thinking of product experience, you're thinking of competition, you're thinking of trends, you're thinking of all these things. Whereas the companies are really solving is, hey, every day I'm getting this phishing attack, spam attack, CCPA lawsuits, GDPR lawsuits, privacy, data. And there are these power centers created in the company right now, newly popping up, that is, someone who has legal, this one is now has a say on the table, in your buying decisions. And product is not the first one out there. So I think, again, being in the market gives you that sense what matters right now in the sales. And then that helps.
Without compliance, you can't sell SaaS.
Five years ago, you could sell,
but today you can't sell.
Even if it's SMB, I think they want compliance. Doesn't matter if it's enterprise or SMB anymore.
Anything else? Anything you think we should cover? I know we've gone quite long, but
I hope you will edit like a whole bunch
of words. Some sections out.
What's one advice from Vishya?
One advice to a first-time founder building SaaS may or may not be for the US.
One advice is hard, but I think when it comes to hiring, it's important to sequence things because it costs money. It's an overhead in terms of culture management. It's an overhead in the time that you spend. Sequencing in the sense is, do you want to hire a product person first, or get a co-founder first, or an engineer first, or a product management, marketing? It's very, very important that sequencing. And that sequence is very much driven by what market you have.
We can do a chapter 2 and a chapter 3 because there's a lot more to unlock. But really appreciate you making a time, Arvind, Vijay, Rishi.
Thank you everyone for listening to us.
Thanks everyone.
Thank you. Bye.